Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. Let us pray. God, give us hearts to know your love, ears to hear your whispers, eyes to see your glory, and lips to speak only your truth. Amen. Please. Our gospel this morning takes us back to the beginning of Jesus' ministry. The last month or so, the couple months, we've been hearing about Jesus' baptism, and then we skipped over this part, and he started gathering followers and performed some miracles. And we're back to the beginning today. This reading is saved for Lent. We can guess why. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and when it was done, he was famished. We've based our entire structure of the season of Lent around these 40 days in the wilderness in which Jesus was tempted. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, to start us off though, when they say 40 days and 40 nights, it's like Moses wandering through the desert for 40 years. 40 is a big number, y'all. 40 meant he was there a minute. Jesus was led into the wilderness and he stayed there a while. That's what Matthew says. And he didn't have any phone reception either. He went there and he was tempted and he was famished. Now, I did this exercise at 8:32. Who in here, and you can raise your hand, you can choose not to if you don't want to, but we don't have any cameras on you, either gave something up or added something to your lives during this season of Lent, has made this kind of plan for your life? Does it wait till day 40 to get hard? Yesterday was day 4. And I know it was hard for a couple people because at the vestry retreat I brought cannoli chips. I wasn't thinking that much. I was just like, oh, these are good. We should serve these. People resisted. And they can have them today because today's a feast day. Because we had leftovers because we didn't eat very many of them. It's hard. From day one, we are tempted. We're told that Jesus found it really hard when he got to the end. That there tells you something about Jesus. It was pretty smooth sailing until day 40, I guess, for him. For us, day 4, day 1. Anybody who's in any 12-step program will know that you have to do it one day at a time. You can't look to day 40 and hope that you make it there. It's about today. And when we get to tomorrow, that's what we'll deal with. Jesus is there being tempted. And temptation is not something we're a stranger to, any of us. Our first reading of the day talked about Adam and Eve. And Eve and the serpent comes. And by the way, this is before God says to the serpent, you don't get legs anymore. You have to slither on your belly. So it's like an iguana or something. I don't know. My mind goes all over the place when I talk about lizards and serpents. But there the serpent comes. And is the serpent there before her? And whether you believe that there was an actual serpent there speaking to her, or that serpent within us that we all know as temptation. Because Eve and Adam had been told one thing, don't do this. The youngest of us in the room know that that's the fastest way for us to do something, isn't it? And as we get older, it doesn't get any easier to avoid. If somebody says, don't do this, the first thing is like, well, why not? Why shouldn't I? And we move and convince ourselves that things are okay. Jesus stayed true during temptation and is an example for us, yes. But he teaches us something about temptation and its nature during this time. Henry Nouwen, who's a theologian and I believe a priest in the Catholic tradition, but I can't remember because that's right, yeah, I thought so. But he talks about the temptations of leadership. He frames it in the temptations of leadership, and I think that that works pretty well when we're talking about Jesus. Jesus, who has been told he's coming fresh from a baptism where the skies parted and a voice from heaven spoke as a dove descended, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I'm well pleased." He's been declared in front of everyone the Son of God. And he goes into the wilderness. And during this time, this messianic period in Jewish history, people's expectations were that the Messiah would come and bring a conquering army to fight against the oppression of the Romans. That is what the Messiah would do. That's the framework into which we enter as viewers of the gospel today. And the first temptation of leadership, I've got notes because I don't want to misquote Nouwen. The first temptation of leadership is that we want to be relevant. We want to make sure that we matter. And sometimes that leads us to do things that we know we shouldn't. And the second one is that we want to be popular by doing something extraordinary. Whether that's work or with our families or somewhere else in our lives, that's a temptation that we will all face. We want people to see us do a good job, something that nobody else could have done, that makes us stand out. And the last one is to be powerful in leadership, to lead rather than be led. And I think that's the one that maybe Jesus might have struggled with the most. And that's the one where Jesus stopped being nice to the temptations of the devil. Before, he was just like, well, the Bible also says this, devil, Satan, if you're going to quote scripture at me, here's some more. But the last time, when he's offered the kingdoms of the world, he says, "Back off, Satan." He gets riled up, which I think for most of us, that means that that's the one that hit a little close to home. His defenses are up, and he knows that he is being offered something that would be easy to accept, offered something that is even kind of expected by those in his community for him to be the conquering hero of the world. However, he gets there. We face these temptations not just in Lent, but all year round. We are just more attuned to them during this time because we've set aside a time to talk about it. And the three temptations of Christ in this gospel also fit into another framework. Peter Scazzaro writes in Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, he's talking about how you have to figure out how you feel in order to figure out what the Spirit is moving you to do. When he's offered and told to turn the stones into bread, this is the smallest of the miracles that he's asked for, by the way. The temptations get bigger and bigger as he turns them down. Does that feel familiar to anyone? Turn these stones into bread. We're tempted to define ourselves by the phrase, "I am what I do." It's a performance-based life. If I do this right, that means I'm good, or that means that I should be held in high esteem. And the second, being dashed, or keep being kept from dashing a foot upon the stone by the angels, is a popularity contest. I am what others think of me. So the devil says, If you throw yourself off of here and the angels catch you, that means that you are the popular one of heaven. Our temptations to be popular are pretty difficult sometimes, aren't they? They're not usually so outlined as the gospel, but life is a lot messier than writers put it down as. We want to stand out. We want to do the things that make sure everyone around us knows. And the last one, to be king of all the kingdoms of the earth, is about possessions. And I think this one hits us close to home too. I am what I have. I am what I have. Whether it's a new set of clothes, a new car, whether we define who we are simply by who's around us, the people we have, or the stuff we have. It's a temptation that allows us to disconnect from each other, each one of these. Temptations that allow us to disconnect from how we feel about others, because they're all focused inward on who we are. This season of Lent, we're not just pointing out that we have temptations. We're pointing out that there's a way through it. And as Paul wrote to the Romans, we're pointing out that the work has been done by Jesus Christ. And we are on the other side of it. We can look to Jesus as an example all we want, and we should, but you know what? None of us in here or out there are Jesus. Breaking news. None of us. And nobody that claims to be. We look to Jesus to help us understand who we are and how we can respond to the world around us. This season of Lent isn't just about the inward focus of whether we are succeeding or failing at doing a practice or not doing a practice during Lent. And I know that for me, one of the greatest temptations of Lent is if you mess up once, the temptation is, well, I guess I didn't do it. Right? You mess up once, and then you just kind of give up. This is a season that we set aside to say, we can turn back towards each other and to God. So if we've given up sweets, and we had cannoli chips, that doesn't mean that all is lost. It means that we can turn and refocus because we now know one more thing that's a temptation to us. One more way in which we are tempted daily. And if we do that, if we seek that knowledge of ourselves in order to grow closer to the one who loves us still, in spite of and because of it all, then that's what a Holy Lent is. If we acknowledge when we come in and the first thing we do is pray the Ten Commandments and confess our sins, and we acknowledge where we've fallen short, and then we have the chance to live anew. That is the salvation that has been given to us in this Lent and always. That is the salvation that Jesus Christ calls to us from the desert where he was for 40 days or, you know, an hour and a half. I don't know. That is the call of Christ on each one of us. just to acknowledge those weaknesses so that we can know where to ask for God's strength and God's support and God's guidance. And you know what? Sometimes we're looking for miracles, asking God to do it God's self. And sometimes somebody else comes up to us and they are the miracle in our lives. And if we can turn our focus away from ourselves, our popularity, what others think of us, what we have, all those different temptations, then we are open to receive that grace that is so freely offered. And that support and that comfort that will strengthen us. Amen.